peace with God.
Is there hope at this hour? At this hour that has been called dangerous, and even some people said desperate. Is there hope?
Yes, there is, says Billy Graham. There's hope because of what God did on that first Christmas.
What did God do? He decided to come to earth. And that's who Jesus Christ was. He was God in the flesh. And he came to tell us that God loves us and God wants to help us.
Welcome to this Christmas edition of Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm Bill Meyer. Today, you'll hear Billy Graham teach on what is likely the most well-known verse in the Bible, John 3:16. You'll also hear his grandson, Will Graham, teach on the first hint of Christmas found in the Bible, a prophecy in the book of Genesis.
This news would come true thousands of years later when God sent his son Jesus to be born of the Virgin Mary in order to save all of mankind.
Stay tuned for Will's teaching on Christmas in Genesis. It comes up right after his grandfather's message.
Peace with God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
peacewithgodradio.org or 888-61-JESUS.
888-61-JESUS.
Christmas celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ. His life is a gift for everyone who accepts him as Savior. And one of the most well-known verses in the Bible reminds us of that gift. That verse, John 3:16, is the focus of Billy Graham's message on this edition of Peace with God. It comes from his 1993 crusade in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Let's listen.
So we turn tonight to the third chapter of John. Jesus has been talking to Nicodemus, who is a great religious leader. And Jesus had said, you must be born again if you're to enter the kingdom of God. And then the famous passage, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want us all to say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Millions of people today are depressed, discouraged around the world. So many people have become suicidal. But this scripture says, for God, is there hope at this hour? At this hour that has been called dangerous, and even some people said desperate. Is there hope? Yes, there's hope because there's God. Now, it says in this passage, for God. And many people ask me, can you prove that there is a God? I said, no, you cannot prove God in a test tube in a laboratory anywhere and say, I've got God in a mathematical formula. The scripture says that God is the creator of the whole universe. He's from everlasting to everlasting. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All of that is created by God. By the word of the Lord were all the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Think of it, the breath of his mouth. He created all those stars and planets and worlds that we see through telescopes, and we see on our television as the astronauts flash their pictures back here. Now, the Bible teaches that God is not only the creator, but God is a spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, said Jesus to the woman at the well. He's also unchanging. I'm the Lord, I change not. Think of it, all these centuries, all these millenniums. There's no variableness, neither shadow of turning with him. He is just the same as he was a million years ago. He's just the same as he'll be a million years from tonight. God never changes. The Bible also teaches that God is holy. He's absolutely pure. Ye shall be holy, for I am the Lord, God am holy. The scripture says in Leviticus 19:2. The scripture says the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all of his works. Psalm 145, 17. And then the scripture says in Habakkuk 1:13 that thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. The Bible also teaches that God is not only the Creator and God is not only holy, but He's a God of judgment. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. In other words, you're going to die, and that's a judgment too, but you're also going to face the great judgment day in which God is going to bring the whole world together that has rejected Him, and we're going to be judged individually, and God is going to judge us. God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God is going to bring it. All the secrets will come out. The tapes will roll because God has been recording not only your life, He's been recording your thoughts, your intents, all the things that you've hidden that you thought nobody saw and nobody knew about. It'll all come out at the judgment, and we'll have to answer to God. On that day, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment, says Jesus. You will be there if you don't know Christ. He's appointed a day in Acts 17:31. He's appointed a day in which He will judge the world. So when we die, we're going to the judgment. But the Bible also says that God is a God of love. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8, God is love. Now, the word that is used there for love is different than our word that we use often. It's agape. It means a deep love that we know nothing about until we know God. Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love, Jeremiah says. God loves you. Whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever you've done, God loves you. And if there's one thing I want you to remember after this crusade is over, if you forget everything else, you remember that God loves you. He has the hairs of your head numbered. He's interested in you, and He loves you. And He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to save you. He wants to take you to heaven. And that's what this crusade, in a sense, is all about. God is love. But what is the basic cause of war and crime and divorce and deceit and rape and fraud and hospitals and jails and bars on the windows? Why do we have to have police forces and all the injustice that we have in the world today? All the racial tensions, after all these years, we still have them. Why? Why do we have riots and why do we have people so unhappy everywhere? What is the problem? There's something wrong with human nature. We have to come to the Bible to find out what it is. People used to look to science to save them. Now they're afraid science is going to destroy them. Man has a terminal disease. The scripture says in 2 Thessalonians 2:17, the mystery of iniquity does already work. 1 John 3:4 says sin is the transgression of the law. What law? The Ten Commandments. The law of conscience. Have you gone against your conscience? All of us have. And some of us have killed our conscience. Some of us have consciences that can no longer speak to us and warn us when we do wrong because they're hardened and deadened. The scripture says in Isaiah 53, we're like sheep that have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We're not looking to God to lead us and direct us and guide us. We're doing it ourselves. We make our own choices and we pay the price of those choices. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
What better time to receive God's gift of eternal life than this Christmas season? It's yours when you begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Learn more at peacewithgodradio.org. Click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. You can also talk with us about it. Just call 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. You'll hear the rest of Billy Graham's message, John 3:16, on this Christmas edition of Peace with God in just a moment.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Louis Zamperini,
He was an Olympic runner. He survived 47 days on a raft in the Pacific, then 2.5 years in a Japanese POW camp. He was tough, but he wasn't tough enough to handle a simple fact from the Bible.
I didn't like the idea of someone else reminding me I was a sinner I knew I was.
He'd agreed to go with his wife to a Billy Graham crusade, and as angry as it made him, he agreed to go back a second day.
I said, okay, I'll go back under one condition. When that fellow says every head bowed and every eye closed, we're getting out of there.
That's not exactly what happened. When Billy Graham invited people to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ, Louis Zamperini's hardened heart softened.
I made a confession of my faith in Christ and put my trust in him.
Louis Zamperini found the truest peace and the greatest hope. You can too, in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to billygraham.org. Click on Grow Your Faith, billygraham.org.
Thanks for being with us for this Christmas edition of Peace with God. Christmas is celebrated in a big way at the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte. Every year, for 7 years now, the library puts on what's called Christmas at the Library. It begins the Monday after Thanksgiving and runs through December 23rd.
That is one of the sounds that you'll hear is the clippity-clop of the horses and the jingle bells on the carriages as they're riding by and the laughter of children. And an occasion, a family may break into Christmas carols as they're taking their carriage ride.
Sonia Johnson is promotions manager for the library. She says in addition to the spontaneous singing of carols by guests, volunteer carolers are also on hand to provide a soundtrack of sorts for the event.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You know, the carriage rides bundled up in a blanket, singing the Christmas carols, hot chocolate, the hot ciders they have out here. It's all part of the experience.
It's an experience enjoyed by people from across the U.S. and around the world. The Billy Graham Library sits on a beautiful piece of property and is surrounded by a variety of trees, including magnolias, hollies, and pines. At Christmas, those trees are filled with thousands of twinkling white lights.
As soon as we walked in and we saw all the lights, it was just beautiful.
The lights, the carols, and everything else that goes on at Christmas at the library is intended to help guests celebrate the birth of Christ.
My favorite part is seeing Jesus and Mary and Joseph.
The live nativity, says Sonia Johnson, is a very special part of Christmas at the library.
We do have live actors that are here every night that portray Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. And then, you know, with the animals, you really do feel like you're back at the night of Jesus' birth.
Sonia says telling people about Jesus is what the Billy Graham Library is all about all year long.
That is the reason we do everything that we do, to minister to people every day and to bring people to Jesus Christ.
Visitors to the library, like this woman, discover the inspiring story of Billy Graham's life and ministry.
But I found out very quickly it's not about Billy Graham. It's about the message of Christ and salvation.
Since the library opened in 2007, God has used it to lead more than 24,000 people into making the decision to commit their lives to Jesus Christ. The library has a number of special events planned for next year in addition to Christmas at the library. Among them are book signings by Dr. James Dobson and Coach Bobby Bowden, and the annual Ladies' Tea in the spring. You can learn more about the outreach of the library at its website, billygrahamlibrary.org. That's billygrahamlibrary.org.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
There's hope.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
On this Christmas edition of Peace with God, we're reminded that God has given us the greatest gift possible, the Savior, Jesus Christ. As Billy Graham explains now, we need the Savior because we're all sinners, and the penalty for sin is death.
Now, the Bible says there's several kinds of death, three kinds of death. There's natural death, and there's spiritual death. Spiritual death is that living inside of you is your spirit, your soul. That part of you is made in the image of God, and that's the part of you that lives forever. But the Bible says that you can be spiritually dead. That's the part of you that has the ability to know God, to contact God, to be reconciled to God. But sin has come between you and God. And so we walk around physically alive, but spiritually dead. That's the reason so many people turn to drugs and alcohol and extramarital affairs and all the rest of it. Because They're separated from God. They're searching for something. Then there's a third kind of death. It's eternal death. Some of the words in the New Testament used by Christ to describe the penalty of sin are lost, perish, condemned, punishment, fire, torment, hell. And you ask me, you say, well, Billy, do you really believe there's a hell? Yes, I believe there's a hell in this life, and I believe there's a hell in the life to come. Hell is separation from God. And if you continue to be separated from God, you go out into eternity, and you will be separated from God still, searching for an answer, for fulfillment and satisfaction, but you won't find it. You can find it here and now in Christ, but it'll be too late then. The moment you die, that's it. And you have eternity ahead of you without hope. Now, God decided to do something about our condition. So what did God do? He decided to come to earth. And that's who Jesus Christ was. He was God in the flesh. And he came to tell us that God loves us and God wants to help us in our problems, in our difficulties, in the mysteries of life. He wants to help solve those things for us. So God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the reason he came, to show us a new way of life, to teach us some fantastic things that we need to put into practice every day in our daily lives, but primarily to die, because the Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. And on all the churches around here, I see crosses, because the cross is the pivotal point of Christianity. You have to come to the cross. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Think of it. When he died on that cross, and they were putting those nails in his hands and the crown of thorns on his brow and a spear in his side, he was dying in your place and mine. Because he not only died physically, he died spiritually. He took the sins. He became sin for us. He didn't know any sin. He had never committed a sin. But he became sin for you and for me. And he paid the penalty. God says you're lost. God says you're going to hell. But Jesus took the hell and the lostness and the suffering and the penalty for us on that cross. And when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that terrible and awful and mysterious moment, God laid on him your sin and my sin. And he had the capacity to bear hell for us in that moment on the cross. But he didn't stay on the cross. The Bible says that they buried him. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. And he's a living Christ tonight. The angels that were sitting in the tomb, when the women and the disciples went on that first Easter morning, heard this message. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. He's alive. I don't present to you tonight a dead Christ. I present to you a living Christ who is alive right now at the right hand of God the Father. And the scripture says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The resurrection is a part of our confession of faith when we come to Christ. Because without the resurrection, there is no meaning in what I'm having to say. Because Christ is alive, and you're going to be alive because he's going to raise you from the dead, and you're going to join him in eternity. Now, what does God require of you? What do you have to do to make sure that your sins are forgiven, to make certain that you know Christ? Oh, I know you might have been baptized, you might have been confirmed, you might have lived a good life and tried to live with the golden rule, but you've somehow failed and you have a doubt in your heart. Well, what do you have to do? The scripture says the first sermon that Jesus ever preached was repent Have you repented? Are you sure that you've repented? You say, well, I don't even know what repentance is. Repentance means that you say to God, I have sinned. I'm sorry that I've sinned. I'm willing to change my way of life. I'll change my mind. I'll let you take over, Lord, from now on. Now, it means to turn around and go in the opposite direction. It means to change your way of living. Are you willing to do that? The scripture says you have to repent. It's like a person in the military who's marching and receives the command to the rear, march. And without breaking stride, he pivots 180 degrees and begins marching in the opposite direction. God commands all men everywhere to repent. And then the second thing is by faith you receive him. You can't understand it all. Of course, there's so much you will never understand. I study the Bible every day, and there are great things in there that I don't understand. But the scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. By faith, I receive Christ as my Lord and my Savior. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What does that word believe mean? It means commitment. I heard about a man who picked up his elderly father at the airport after the older man had taken his first airplane flight. And the son said, well, father, how was the flight? The older man said, it was all right, but I never did put my full weight down on that seat. And that's the way many people are with Christ. They never put their full weight. When you come to Christ, you must come all the way and put your full weight on him, not on anything else, not on your own goodness, not on any ritual you've been through. You put your full weight on the person of Christ who died for you and who rose again and who is alive at this moment and extends his invitation to you.
The Jesus who was born in a manger on the first Christmas is the same Jesus who died for you and who rose again. And he's inviting you to trust him fully with your life. Are you ready to do that? If so, or if you still have questions, please visit us at peacewithgodradio.org. Click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. And you can also call us. Our number is 888-61-JESUS. 888-615-3787.
Peace
with
God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
The Christmas story, the account of Jesus Christ's birth, is told in the second chapter of Luke. But there are verses all throughout the Bible that communicate the message of Christmas. Billy Graham taught on one of them today, John 3:16. Now his grandson, Will Graham, teaches on one that's found in the book of Genesis.
What is your favorite passage in the Bible that talks about Christmas? One of my favorites actually comes from Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 is the first hint about Christmas, and it comes in one of the darkest times in human history. Genesis chapter 3 is when Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan and disobeyed God, forever destroying the wonderful relationship between God and man. But yet, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God tells that there will be a seed of woman that will come and ultimately destroy Satan. This is the very first mention of the good news in the Bible. This news would come true thousands of years later when God sent his son Jesus to be born of the Virgin Mary in order to save all of mankind. From the very beginning, God had a plan to rescue all of us from Satan and our sinful state. That is why I love this verse, because by faith I know that Jesus saved me from the darkness and loneliness of sin. Live by faith and not by sight. And Merry Christmas. For Peace with God, I'm Will Graham.
That reminder from Will is one that's encouraging any time of the year, as is his grandfather's message on John 3:16. You can listen back to them anytime you like by getting a free CD copy of today's program. Just give us a call and let us know you'd like it. The number is 888-61-JESUS. That's 888-615-3787. Next week here on Peace with God, you'll learn that a life spent chasing after pleasure will end up leaving you empty.
That's the biography of the epitaph of many of us. going for pleasure, instant pleasure, instead of true happiness, because you see, true happiness and peace is found in knowing Jesus Christ and in fellowship with God.
Please plan on joining us for the rest of Billy Graham's message next week here on Peace with God. And would you consider helping the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association continue to share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Give. Or you can make your donation over the phone. Our number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. Your gifts are especially helpful as we come up to the end of the year. Right now, we're at the end of this program. Thanks so much for being with us today. I'm Bill Meyer. Peace with God is an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.